Welcome and thank you for joining us today as we gather together, even though we're not physically together, but joining our hearts together in this time of worship. This is a worship service at Broadway Covenant Church for May 31st. We hope that the Spirit is watching over you and guiding you and continues to hold our church together during this time. But thank you for making the time to be a part of our worship today. I want to share a couple of things as we get started. First is to say those of you who are a regular part of our church community and worship with us often, we've been reaching out to our church family over the past several days to conduct sort of a survey of how we're all feeling about the possibility of resuming in-person worship. And so thank you to those of you who've given us your feedback, and the leadership team will be digesting what we've heard and trying to make some decisions in the coming days. We also just in the past day or so, we've been hearing from Winnebago County about some guidelines that they're putting out related to churches resuming and some safety practices that they're recommending. And so we're taking all of that into consideration and trying to make some decisions. I know there are some folks who are really anxious, ready to be back this Sunday if possible, and others who are saying, no, we really need to be slow. So we're trying to balance all of that and come up with a good plan for the church to get back together when we're able to, when we feel like it's safe, and in a way that will be that will work for our congregation. So hang in there and be patient. We appreciate how you've stayed in touch as a church family, and we hope that these online resources, or some of you are listening to this recorded on a CD or a DVD, but thank you for staying in touch in those ways. Those of you who are able, we'll continue to do our Zoom fellowship time Sunday morning at 11 a.m., and you've got the login information for that. So those have been good, good opportunities to see and hear from one another online on Sunday mornings. So again, welcome. We're grateful that you're joining us for this time of worship. And as we begin today, we're going to open up God's Word together. We'll start with a reading from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 2 through 10. These are Paul's words sent out to the Thessalonian church. We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that He has chosen you because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you not only in Macedonia and Achaia, your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols, to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, Jesus who rescues us from the coming wrath. As we continue our worship, we're invited to remember the ways that we are supporting God's kingdom through our giving. Even though we're not together to give, I know many of you are still supporting the church through sending checks through the mail or supporting us online, and we appreciate what you're doing to enable our ministry to go forward. And please continue to be faithful in those ways, knowing that what you give is enabling our ministry just as always and enabling us also to reach out and care for people in our community through local ministries as well as missionaries that we support through the Covenant Church. So thank you for what you do to support our ministry. God's Word says this, that He is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. And so we trust God to provide for our needs just as we are faithful and generous to supply the needs of God's kingdom. Let me invite you now to join me in a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for your grace and your goodness to us. Lord, we thank you that as we worship you, as we lift up the name of Jesus today, that you are with us. Your Spirit is moving in each of our hearts and is binding us together as a church family. And Lord, this is a hard time when we can't be together physically, when we can't be in the same room. But Lord, we thank you for your blessing, your grace that is still sufficient for us, and the power of your Spirit that continues to hold us together as a church. Father, I pray for unity in our body. I pray that you'd help us to continue to seek after and pursue the mission that you've given us, to love in the name of Jesus, one another as well as our community, and to share the message of Jesus here with our church family as we open up the Word together, but also in our own neighborhoods and with our family and in any way that we're able to reach out to people that we're close to and share the good news of Jesus with them. Lord, help us to be faithful in those ways. Father, we also pray for wisdom as our church makes decisions about how to move our ministry forward and maybe take some steps toward getting back together again. And we just ask that you'd give us that clear direction so that we can move forward in a way that is both safe and welcoming and encouraging to each one in our church. Father, we also continue to pray today for those in need of healing. We think of those in our community who have been affected by the coronavirus, and we know, Lord, that some have recovered, but Lord, still some are in the hospital and under the care of their doctors, and we just pray for healing and strength. We pray that this virus would begin to go away, that the infection rate would slow. Lord, we pray that there would be a vaccine and effective treatment that would quickly come. Father, we also pray for those who are dealing with other issues in their life not related to the virus. We know there are still other diseases and illnesses and hurts and burdens that are weighing down on many of us. Father, we continue to pray for Darlene as she's in need of your healing and your strength. Father, we pray for those who are facing loss of income or loss of jobs or just an uncertain future. Lord, encourage them and help them to trust in you through this time. We pray for local leaders and for business owners. We thank you that there is some progress being made and pray that those businesses that are struggling would have their needs met and be able to open up to some degree so that they can continue not only to open their businesses but also to supply the jobs that come as a result of what they do. So, Lord, in all these things, we trust your grace in our community. Father, we also think today of the African-American community that has been hard hit by the virus for a number of reasons and now also dealing with another case of injustice and the death of George Floyd. And Father, we know that many of our brothers and sisters in the African-American community are hurting today, and we just pray that your peace would be with them and that they would know that your grace is also sufficient in their lives, and that through the name of Jesus Christ, that they are welcome and they are a part of our community, just as we all are. Lord, we thank you that we can trust in you, that you are a God who sees all of our needs, and that you bind us together through Jesus Christ. So, Father, we give you this time of worship now. I pray that you would prepare us to hear your word, that you would help us as we bow before you today to receive the good things that you have for us. Lord, we love you, and we ask all these things in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. In some ways, our time of physical separation is serving as sort of an experiment for the church, maybe for the rest of the community around us as well. But, you know, we're finding out, will the church survive without being together? And can we still do ministry? Can we still share the gospel? Can we still love each other, even if we can't see each other? Can we remain unified as a church without physically being together? Then again, I think about Paul's letters. We heard earlier from Paul's letter to the Thessalonian church, and you think about how he wrote to people who he had not seen in some cases months or even years, and he had traveled far away, and they were separated by not only that time, but also hundreds of miles, and he would write back to them and help them to think through theological issues and settle disputes within the church. And he would encourage them and motivate their ministry. And he did all that from a great distance as well as a great separation in terms of the time since he had seen those churches that he helped to start and to give birth to. In some ways, that's how we're operating today, isn't it? As the pastor of the church, I'm recording these sermons and worship services, and they get sent out. And by the way, it's Thursday right now as I'm speaking, and you'll probably watch this on Saturday or Sunday or Monday, whenever you are able to get to it. And so there's that time lag between what we're doing. And then I'm also writing devotions, and we're sending letters to the church or emails. You're getting those in various ways. And so in some ways, we are doing what Paul did, what Peter did, what John did, as they wrote letters off to the early church to communicate in those ways. And now, like then, like so long ago, when we think about the early church, I believe the church is going to survive through this time. We will keep sharing the good news. We will keep loving one another. We are going to continue through the Holy Spirit's power and presence and through our shared faith in Jesus Christ, we will continue to be held together in unity. And that's what we want to talk about today as we open up Acts chapter 4. We're going to read a short passage there at the end of chapter 4 that is in some ways a lot like the end of chapter 2 that we read a couple of weeks ago. It's a description of what the life of the church was like during those early days. And this passage in particular deals with unity within the church and how the church shared life together. And so I hope as we read these words, it'll be an encouragement to us. Even while we're apart, we can remain unified in our faith and in our mission and in how we love one another. So listen to these words from Acts chapter 4, beginning at verse 32. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. Now, the timeline of the book of Acts is not entirely clear in most places, but it's likely that this story, as we're reading here in Acts chapter 4, that this is probably from the first couple of years, the first year, maybe into the second year, of the early church. So following the ascension of Jesus and Pentecost, and the church is still predominantly there in Jerusalem. And we know there are now, say, several thousand believers, but they're still gathering together in and around Jerusalem, maybe meeting in the temple courts, as we've read previously, or in other public places. They also certainly were meeting in their own homes and smaller, what we might call small group gatherings for meals and worship and teaching. And they were doing church as best they could in those ways, just like we are now doing church the best we can during this time. As we read through Acts in the coming weeks, we'll get some of these stories, but I want to give you a little bit of a flow of what's coming next in the early church history. Over the next several years, as time goes on and the church begins to grow and persecution against the church increases, we'll read about Stephen becoming the first martyr of the church, and then eventually the church is scattered away from Jerusalem because the persecution became so intense. And the apostles, who we'll talk about a little bit as we go along today, the apostles particularly were singled out by the Roman authorities and the non-believing Jewish authorities. And so the church began to be scattered far and wide away from Jerusalem. And that time presented new challenges for the church. How will they stay in touch when they're not all in one place? We read about Paul and other leaders in the church who had to write letters, sending them far away to other churches to combat false teaching and other issues and disputes that would arise in the church. In some parts of the world where the church was spreading, there was famine. There were financial burdens that arose. In fact, the church in Jerusalem went through a very difficult time, and so there were efforts made by other churches away from Jerusalem to raise money and to send aid back to Jerusalem and to care for the people there. And so through it all, in those early years of the church, they had to work hard to maintain the unity of what Jesus had called them to as he established this community of believers that now is being scattered. And of course, we know today the church is in every corner of the world and speaking many different languages and reading different translations of the Bible, and yet somehow we need to maintain the unity of the body of Christ. How will we stay together spiritually and emotionally and relationally? It says here in the first verse of this passage, verse 32, that they were one in heart and mind. And that's always been the challenge for the church. How do we remain one in heart and mind? It's certainly a challenge for us today when we're physically separated. How do we remain unified in faith and in mission and in love? And so that's what we want to talk about today as we look at the experience of the early church and learn from their example, but then also listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying to us in our church today. And so we'll begin with this. The church must seek unity of faith. Unity of faith. I think that's exactly what it means when it says that they were one in heart and mind, that they were held together by those things that mattered most to them, which at the very heart of what matters most to the followers of Jesus is our relationship with Jesus, is our faith in our Savior. At its core, our shared faith in Jesus is what holds the church together. Then again, we may disagree on some things, and that's okay. And I think we need to accept the reality that in the church, particularly in today's world, the culture that we live in today, we're not going to agree on everything. As we have been surveying people on how and when we should reopen, resume in-person worship as a church, we're not all going to agree on those issues. And that's okay, because as a church body, we can still find unity. At the same time, we all have different personalities. We may prefer to wear different clothing. We may like different types of food. We may even have different political opinions, which is certainly a source of division within our culture. It always has been, but maybe even more so today, or at least it's highlighted or in front of our faces far more today than it's ever been. But you see, none of those differences, none of our differences of opinion or personality or preferences, none of those things can outweigh what we share in common. We love Jesus, and we have found new life in Him. And it's our faith that holds us together. There's an old saying in the church that I think is very much at the core of what our denomination believes, what the Covenant Church believes. This saying goes back many, many generations, and it's this: in essentials, unity; in non-essentials, liberty; in all things, charity. And I think we can understand what that is saying, even though it's often hard to sort of live that out in the life of the church. But it means that we can be okay disagreeing on some things. There are some non-essentials in the life of the church. There are things that we may believe, that I might believe, that you might believe a little bit differently. You might read Scripture a little bit differently than I do, but that's okay. We can give one another that freedom to disagree in certain areas. In fact, in the Covenant Church, we affirm what we call freedom in Christ, which doesn't mean that we're all just free to think and do whatever we want, but within the bounds of the wisdom of Scripture, and as we each listen to the Holy Spirit, and within the bounds of our faith in Jesus Christ, we give one another the freedom to not have to agree on everything. And that's a good thing. It's a healthy thing for the church. In fact, it's that freedom to disagree on non-essential issues that builds up and maintains the unity of the church, because we can choose to say we won't divide ourselves just because we may disagree on certain issues. Now, the challenge there is what's an essential, what's a non-essential. But let me give you a few examples within the life of the church that I think we often may disagree on some of these things. For instance, some people have very strong feelings about the mode of baptism, what is appropriate in terms of when or how people are baptized. I have my own opinions on that. You may have yours. We may not always agree. Another issue is whether it's appropriate to speak or pray in tongues. And as we're reading through the book of Acts, this issue is going to come up. It comes up throughout the New Testament, but it's particularly evident in the early church history how people speaking in tongues was a visible evidence of the Holy Spirit's work in their life. And some people might not be comfortable with that today. Whereas others, it is a part of how they express their faith and their relationship with Jesus. Or maybe it's what you believe about the end times and about how and when Jesus will return. We all believe that He will return, but we may not agree on how we read Scripture related to a timeline, or how do we know when it's coming, or those sorts of issues. Even within our church body, we may not agree on all of these things. And that's okay for us. We can offer freedom to one another, so long as we do all agree on the core issues of faith. We all agree that Jesus died for our sins and that He rose again. We all agree that each person needs to accept Jesus' offer of new life. We all agree that God's Word is true and authoritative over our church and over our lives. And so we can remain one in heart and mind. We can be unified through our shared faith in Jesus Christ. Unity, though, also needs to be seen in our actions. And so we need to talk about this a little bit more and kind of get more specifically into what we read in Acts chapter 4. So we also need to add this, that the church must seek unity in mission. We need to be unified as we live out the mission of the church. Not only was the early church one in heart and mind, but we also read during those early days of the life of the church, it says the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection. And then it says God's grace was powerfully at work in them. You see, their unity had a purpose that led to action and led to ministry within the mission that Jesus had given the church. They shared the love and message of Jesus, which is still the mission of the church. That is the mission of what we do here at Broadway. It's the mission that every church throughout the world and all through the history of the Church of Jesus Christ, we share the love and the message of Jesus. That's why the church exists. And it's one of the things that holds us together and unifies us. And so even while we're apart, even during this time, and we're now nearing 3 months without worshiping together, but even during this time, our mission continues. We are still spreading the good news. It might be in new ways, different ways than we've done it in the past. It might be more online than it used to be, or maybe it's done through phone calls or letters sent through the mail, or however we're finding creative ways, but we're still sharing the message of Jesus. We are also still supporting the work of God's kingdom through our giving to the church or individual giving to other ministries and missionaries that you care about. As a church family, we've been able to continue to support local ministries as well as the covenant camps in the Central Conference, as well as the denomination as a whole. And those things are enabling the mission of the church to continue even during this time. Of course, we're also still preaching and teaching God's Word. And again, it might look different. It might feel a little different. But we are still proclaiming God's Word. And we are still holding out the truth of Jesus Christ for those who hear it and are ready to respond, to grow in faith or to find new faith through Jesus Christ. And let me also add this to this idea of unity in the mission. And that is to say that the mission of the church is not just what church leaders do. And I know it's kind of looking like that right now because I'm the only one you see on the camera. And even though there are a couple other people in the room right now, but it might look like, oh, it's only the pastor doing this work. And even in Acts chapter 4, it says that the apostles continued to testify. And yeah, that was probably how the church started, that Peter and James and John and the other disciples who we read about in the Gospels who knew Jesus personally, they were the initial leaders and teachers in the early church. And that was how it started. But then as we read through the book of Acts, we see that many other followers of Jesus got in on the act, including some who never knew Jesus in person. And so we read as we go through Acts, first here we read about Barnabas. He's called Joseph, and they sort of nicknamed him or gave him this particular title, Son of Encouragement, Barnabas. And we read later, Barnabas was the one who first encouraged Paul and talked the church into welcoming him into the fellowship of the church. You remember, Paul, earlier known as Saul, had persecuted the church. But then he's dramatically converted to faith in Jesus, and it's Barnabas, the son of encouragement, who comes alongside Paul and then helps the church to accept him into their fellowship and their ministry. And then, of course, we read about Paul, and he and Barnabas go off and become traveling missionaries and evangelists. We also read about Stephen. Stephen was set apart initially as a servant in the church, one who would serve widows within the fellowship of the church and make sure that they were cared for. And then Stephen also became a teacher and an evangelist, and it was because of his bold witness that he eventually became the first martyr of the church, because some who wouldn't accept Jesus as their Savior rejected Stephen and his ministry. We also read about Mark, who ended up writing one of the Gospels. We read about Priscilla, who became a believer and a leader in a local church that she was able to host in her own home. We read about Timothy, who Paul sort of took under his wing and trained to be a pastor of a local church. And none of these were apostles, as the book of Acts uses that term. They weren't among the original 12 disciples, but they each joined in the mission and they worked for the gospel, and God used them through the power of the Spirit to be a part of that, fulfilling that mission that Jesus had given the church. And so the same is true today, that each one of us has a part to play in the mission of the church. It's not just pastors. It's not just those who are sort of set apart by the church as and have a special title within the life of the church. But each of us, in our own homes, in our own neighborhoods, can share the good news of Jesus. You can love people. You can pray for them. You can show others who Jesus is by how you live and by the testimony of your life and your words. And so the church will stay unified as we all engage together in the same mission. The mission that Jesus gave us, the mission that the church has had since the very early days, to share the love and message of Jesus with people in need. Now, the passage also tells us another way that the early church stayed together. And listen again to verse 32. It says, no one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything that they had. And then it goes on to talk about how some would sell property, homes and land, and bring the money and use that to support the life of the church. And now, I know before you get nervous, that sounds pretty extreme. Right? I think we'd all be uncomfortable if the church started asking us to sell our homes, sell our businesses, whatever we may have, so that we could pool all those possessions in the church. Our economic system may look a little different than the early church did. But I will say this, there are still some Christian communities that follow this way of life pretty specifically. In fact, even in Chicago, Jesus People USA, which is a church that's been around for 30 or 40 years now and part of the Covenant Church, They live together in an intentional community in Chicago. It's roughly 150 people. They live together, work together, share together in many, many ways their life together. And so if that's a calling that God has placed on your life, there are ways to live that out in a very specific way. But how we live this out in our church might look a little different, but it still follows the same principle, the same truth, the same idea that's being communicated here. And so let me say it in this way. The church must seek unity by loving one another, by caring for one another, by sharing what God has given us so that we can lift others up during times of need. So when there are needs in our church family, we pray for each other and we support each other. And we are there to share what God has given us so that others also can be cared for. One of the practical ways that we do this in the life of the church today is what we call the Care Fund. And I say this as sort of an illustration of this point, but also a way to remind you that you can contribute to the Care Fund. But also, if you're someone who is experiencing a financial need right now within our church family, and the Care Fund is specifically for those who are a part of our church, we support the community in other ways, and the rescue mission, and One Body, and other local ministries. But within our church family, if you are experiencing a need, reach out to me, or reach out to our Care Fund administrator, whose first name is Nancy. I'll tell you, you probably know who I'm talking about, and we can confidentially care for those needs through the gifts that are given to the Care Fund. Another practical way that we promote the unity of the church by loving one another, and this often happens, it's still happening today, even during this time when we have to take special precautions, but when there's someone experiencing a medical need or going through physical therapy or chemotherapy or whatever it is, members of our church will provide rides to and from hospital or medical appointments and care for one another or deliver food or groceries. And we do those things. And I know in the life of the church, we kind of take it for granted that, well, of course we do that. Of course we care for one another. But that is a way that we love each other in the name of Jesus and that binds us together, that shows that what we talk about in terms of unity and faith and love is not just words, but is lived out in the actions and in the real practical love of our church family. And so I want to say, as pastor of the church, thank you for the ways that you care for one another. Many of those things happen without the church asking someone to do it, but they happen because we do love each other. Even over these past several weeks, there have been many expressions of love and concern shown by our church family. Again, in difficult circumstances, but caring for one another as best we can. All of these are reasons that I believe when we are able to return to our usual patterns of church life and ministry and worship, I believe our church is going to be stronger. I believe when we are able to gather again that we will be closer, maybe physically not as close as we were for a while, but emotionally and spiritually closer than we've been before, that we will be even more unified, that we have learned new and better ways to love one another. I suppose there's some truth to the old saying that absence makes the heart grow fonder, and that's probably true. We're probably experiencing that in our own families and in the church right now. But unity in the church is even deeper and more powerful because the Holy Spirit binds us together and holds us close. And we can share with one another what matters most to each one of us, which is our faith in Jesus Christ and the love we have for God, and through Jesus Christ, the love we have for one another in the church. And so this starts with sharing our faith, sharing our love for Jesus. It grows into how we live out the mission of the church. And then I think our unity is best expressed in how we love each other. And so I believe Broadway has a bright future, even though the next few weeks and months might be a little uncertain. But I believe that we will continue to be held together with unity and with mission and with faith. And I believe that's true for the whole Church of Jesus Christ, that we will emerge from this difficult time with a greater sense of purpose and mission and unity. We will overcome these challenges that we are facing today. The church will survive this time. And I think we will be stronger and more unified in the days and in the years ahead. So with that hope, with that encouragement, let me pray for you. Let me pray for our church family now. Lord, I do lift up our church to you now. I thank you for your grace and your provision for us. I thank you, Lord, for all the ways that you are holding us together. And Lord, this time is not what any of us would want, but Lord, we thank you for the power of your Spirit moving among us. I thank you, Lord, for the unity that you've given us through Jesus Christ, the faith that we share, the mission that you've given us all to work on together, the ways we love each other. And I pray that you would continue to hold our church close to you and close to one another. And Father, I pray that through this time and in all that we do, just as you have always been faithful to your church, just as Jesus promised that nothing would separate us from you and nothing would come between one another or stand in the progress of the church that bears his name, Lord, I pray that those promises would continue to be true, that you would continue to be faithful to us, and that you would help us to see all the ways that you're binding us together. Lord, we thank you for your grace. I thank you for your work within the church, and I pray your blessing over each one of us today and in the days ahead. We ask this in the name of our Savior Jesus. Amen. Well, I want to thank you again for being a part of this time of worship and opening up God's Word. I'm praying for each one of you as we go through the week. And if you have needs, please reach out to me, reach out to your church family so that we can continue to pray for one another. Now receive the blessing of God. Grace, mercy, and peace be yours in abundance from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.